From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guest today is Chris Lee Marshall, a young producer busting out of a small town in Texas in a big way, with remixes flying all over the internet, Diplo dropping his tunes, and huge Insomniac bills in his past, present, and future, certainly. He's got a lot to say, so let's get to it in his own words. I hope you enjoy. So, it's no secret, you're a young fella. There's a good chance you wouldn't be allowed in the door at a lot of the clubs you actually play at, yet your compositional skills, your production skills, your catalog of influences, it's like you're twice your age. I want to know, what were you listening to as a wee teeny tiny baby? Where did it all start for you?
People say, like, they're influenced by bands and stuff, or, like, they just mention artists. I would say that I was influenced by more, like, movies and commercials and just goddamn media, you know? Anything.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a more accurate or honest explanation of what's going on. We're bombarded by media. It's not like It's just music that's turning you on.
And that's when, like, when I was born, you know, I mean, raised in the 90s, that's when, like, media was, like, I feel like it was super commercialized and everything was just trying to, like, sell, and buy, and, like, all that. And I feel like I was influenced by a lot of that stuff. And I would say the first, like, musical influence would be, like, probably Space Jam, because that was Looney Tunes. They sold it to me with the goddamn cartoons, you know?
They did it right. Not only did they have the cartoons, but they've got one of the biggest, you know, sports superstars of all time, a couple of the biggest. So there's no way that you couldn't have been influenced by that. And anybody who says otherwise is probably lying.
Yeah, and I mean, I had the album on cassette and on CD, and I was like, I had the Scholastic book that you would buy at the book fair, you know? I had all of it. I was just like, God, geez, Space Jam. It was so cool. It was my shit.
Man, so Space Jam is your jam. So the music that you make now is absolutely a product of that. What do you think Michael Jordan would say about what he's done to you? Do you think he'd dig your shit?
He'd probably just be like, that's cool, man. I'm just going to go sit in a tub of cash.
So you snuck in the back door, but at the same time, you like your pop music. There's some things that come to you and you say, let me see if I can completely destroy this and reprocess this and turn it into a completely different animal. But still, that pop music's coming to you. I guess it's bombarding all of us at all times.
Yeah, and especially in San Antonio, like I said, because Clear Channel is just running the airwaves. And I mean, yeah, I was completely bombarded.
That's too bad. But that's what the future of radio is. That's why we're doing this on a podcast now, not on some Clear Channel site. Although, if anybody from Clear Channel is listening, please contact me and we can do some business.
No, podcasts. Podcasts are. That's another thing I was influenced by. I was influenced by podcasts. I'm not up to date with podcasts now, but a while back, I was listening to this podcast by this guy from Australia, and he completely influenced everything that I do, pretty much. He was once a DJ, too. He once made music, but then podcasting got invented, and he was like, okay, I'll fuck with it. And then he made, like, one of the first, like, really huge, like, paranormal podcasts. It's called Mysterious Universe, I think.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard of that. He came and went for a while, but yeah, I talked to him on AIM, luckily, and I felt like I was talking to a superstar. I was talking to him just about podcasts, and he was just telling me how, like, yeah, he was a producer and all this stuff, and he was showing me his old tracks, and I was totally stoked. But he's just like, this new thing came along called podcast, and I was intrigued by it because it was new, you know? It's something new you can fuck with, and that's really what influenced me, is him telling me that, because after that, like, once I heard dubstep, I was just like, okay, this is something new, I can use this. And so that's what I've been doing. is just like hopping on something that's new, fresh, keeping it fresh.
It's genius. That's put you where you are today. And I think obviously you're a product of this new media environment, so you don't even have to worry about Clear Channel ruling the airwaves. All you need is your new ways of reaching the people.
Yeah, luckily.
Now the kind of music you produce, the adjectives used to describe it are the same words they use in metal: loud, fast, hard, heavy, ribcage rattling, teeth chattering, soul shattering. Did you go through a metal phase at all, or was dubstep just like, wow, this is new, this is crazy, it's loud, it's in your face, I love it, and you had never really been a fan of hard or heavy or loud or fast before?
Well, in response to metal being an influence, hell no. No, I never listened to metal, never. I listen to random dance music. Indie dance is my big, that's what I listen to the most during middle school, during my teen angst. I just listen to, I might have listened to a little bit of Nine Inch Nails, a little bit here and there, and then I might have listened to some Linkin Park, but like not metal and not like screamo. I hate screamo. I hate anything that has an artist screaming. I never was into. I was more into like, I guess The Killers a little bit, a lot of British rock though. A lot of that.
So some of that Britpop though, it's great music, but it's, you know, it's cool, it's common, it's accessible, but I mean, the music you produce is completely bombastic. It's bananas. How did you raise your own energy level, or is this just naturally what you produce while you listen to something easygoing, something that's got a little four on the floor dance groove going at you? You still create this, you know, this monster mash music.
I don't know what it is. I guess, see, I would listen to all that stuff. Like, I guess that could be my Dr. Jekyll side. It's just me, but would be more of my indie listening side when I was younger. But then I had that Hyde side where I was like, video games would be my influence for that. Like high energy, I would say racing games like Need for Speed Underground. That had a huge influence on me.
Huh.
Let's see, there's this one track, or there's a couple tracks by this man named Overseer. He's from the UK. I was hugely influenced by him. I bet everyone else was being influenced by Fatboy Slim, but he's kind of similar to that. But he was in Need for Speed Underground, and I listened to his tracks like nonstop, and I got his album. I got my mom to drive me to Best Buy and like get his album, and was like obsessed with it. I would say he was like really high energy sounding. What else is high energy? I kind of went through that high energy phase of music during like electro, you know, whenever electro started popping off with Justice.
To get down like that.
Hip-hop is, I guess you could say, your favorite fodder for remixes. Walk me through your process, because you have such a signature style that is instantly recognizable with up-tempo drops and high-pitched wobbles, and you basically make tunes unrecognizable. What's your sort of process for taking this hip-hop that's everywhere and putting your own spin on it?
I approach it from like an angle that's like, I'm just a DJ. I got a crowd of people in front of me, and I got to make them move uncontrollably. And I think the easiest way to do that is to have a black person yell at them, and maybe add some bass and some notes in there. But
sure,
it's mostly about just getting someone to tell them what to do. And I don't like trance, so I don't like people to go like feel the love in your veins or something weird, and like, or
sure,
start or like party rock anthem. Fuck that, god damn it. like that shit. What did she say? She says something like, Put your hands up to the sky, get high, being high, push it. Like, I don't really like clubby stuff, but I mean, I feel like I'm like a black person can nonchalantly be just as like cool or like hip. I mean, I don't know, like,
and just say lose your shit, and people will respond by thusly losing their said shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know. I just feel like rappers can do that, like, just and be way more chill and like cool about it.
Understandable. Understandable. You're really unpacking this. This makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Cool.
So, for instance, let's break down Willow Smith's "Whip My Hair." What stood out about that for you and made you think, yeah, I could really do a number on that one?
I don't know. The hook, it repeats, which is really cool. I like I like commercials and how they get slammed in your head like the goddamn McRib. Remember?
Yeah, the McRib.
Exactly. I like that. I like things, messages that just get jammed in your head. And I mean, it was an annoying track at times, but at the same time, I could see how it, like, people could get it stuck in their heads and like jam it. But I think the most like intriguing thing, or just like inviting thing for me to remix it, was that it sounded like it was from the 90s or 80s. You know, it didn't sound like it was made now, except for the chorus, maybe. I mean, not the "Whip My Hair" chorus. I mean, the bridge sounds like Rihanna or something, but like the main chorus sounds like it's like Criss Cross or something, you know. It has that yeah. Criss Cross feel to it. I don't know, it's just, it's fun. It's not about like bottles and champagne. It's like, it just has more of an edge to it. I liked it a lot. I don't know, when I first heard it, it was sick.
Well, I mean, it may have an edge to it, but then you sharpen that edge, certainly. Why do you think your brand of, let's call it crunk step, is so popular among a set of people who probably didn't grow up on heavy music, much like you, who are coming from a predominantly top 40 or pop scene? How do people who have grown up listening to general pop music, their R&B, their hip hop, but nothing crazy, are you just tapping into some sort of primal sleeping beast inside of people and waking that shit up and shaking it around?
That's what I would like to think, but I really think that hip hop was mainstream for a little bit, and especially crunk music. I mean, Lil Jon was huge for a while, and there was these weird, like really, really trap looking and hood looking like music videos on MTV for the longest time, 50 Cent and all that stuff. And I think everyone past a certain age was influenced by that a lot, I think, because there was just that moment in MTV's history where they were just like rap, like Sucka Free Sundays. There was just like crunk all over the radio and the TV. It was weird. And it was like associated with drugs and stuff, but like at the same time, I feel like it really wasn't about that. It was just about, I don't know, getting drunk, just partying, but in a different angle, you know, than now, than just like DJ Pauly D. It's changed, but I kind of want to bring that back, that crunk feeling, you know, just like black people. Yes.
Do you think your music is dark or aggressive or abrasive, or do you think it's just the natural step and people are ready for it and people are pumped by it?
I don't know. I feel like if you're gonna DJ and there's a lot of people, you might as well have a lot of energy. I don't know. That just seems like the best outcome, is to have everyone losing their brains. I'm not so for that, actually. Drugs are bad.
Drugs are bad, okay. But certainly,
whatever, do your thing. I don't care.
It doesn't. Yeah, okay. That's very diplomatic.
Yeah, I don't give two shits what other people do. I wouldn't do that. That's stupid.
Yeah, very cool. So let's talk about these two very successful nights that you and your crew of producers have been at the center at. There's the Ivy Rooftop and Club Rio. How'd you get involved with sort of building these nights up into something from scratch, essentially?
I mean, I built them up by just building my name up. That actually helped the most. But I mean, 3 years before that, I had been hustling in San Antonio, just like surely learning how to DJ while also like trying to meet the right people. But as soon as like my name started going off, it just made things 100% easier.
Is there any key for producers in your shoes 3-4 years ago? Hustling, trying to meet the right people and learning their craft. Is there some sort of secret, or is it just you have to wait for the breaks and you have to make the breaks?
The secret is always hard work. I would say the secret is being original.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, sure. Is there such a thing as overexposure?
No, absolutely not. Case and point, Lil B.
I think there's nothing, you know, there's nothing more frustrating than knowing you have an original sound and knowing that people would go crazy if there were just the people. What were you, I don't know, blessed by the fact that you had a lot of friends coming out and who would tell their friends, or was it literally, you know, you'd be playing this amazing music to half fill rooms and you'd think, what's going on? What do I do?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was in that forever. I worked at it. It's all about getting the word out. So yeah, definitely relying on friends of friends telling their friends and all that. But yeah, it was really frustrating at the beginning.
I imagine the internet makes that a lot easier, you know, instead of just hoping that the crowds will slowly grow. You get one hot song or you get one break with a song and suddenly people are coming to the club to seek you out instead of being dragged there.
Yeah, that helped a lot. But at the same time, it's really hard for me to answer this question like fully, just because whenever I started really pushing like my club scene is when I was also blowing up. So it was kind of like hand in hand, like a combo killer.
Yeah.
I found the right club. I found the right people to work with. And my music was doing good for itself. And it was a perfect combination of everything. And I think that's how the night actually essentially got its vibe and got the right things going. But also, not only am I kicking off my career, but so is, I mean, like the rest of America is kicking off to dance music. It's weird. Like, it just, everything happened at once, which is a little odd. I don't know how that happened.
Well, hard work plus luck puts you where you are, you know?
Yeah.
If the music wasn't hot, it would be obviously harder for you to get these nights successful. And, you know, beyond these nights, your career obviously exploding around that. But, you know, it just so happens that dance music is back and in a big way. And this new type of music that you're producing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was mostly influenced by musical progression in, like, Europe. And like Diplo, even like Diplo is a huge influence on me. He was also like one of the first people like just DJing because that's what he wanted to do, or like just doing, you know, something random. It seemed random at the time. Now it's not as random. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what happened, but yeah, just blew up. First snap back so you know where I stay.
I'd like to talk about some of your contemporaries, let's say, in your style of music, your progressive angle on dubstep. Tell me about good old Indiana homeboy Figure. What sort of an impact has Josh Gard had on your sound?
Well, what's weird is I didn't know that he was making the same type of music that I was at the time. I mean, I heard his like fidget stuff. I was totally into that. And I made this one drum step track and he was like, he commented on my shiz, and I was like blown away. I was like, whoa, Figure commenting on my stuff. And then I checked out his stuff, and I'm like, whoa, he's making really, really similar stuff. So, I mean, I wasn't really influenced by him, but like we ended up doing the same stuff. And man, he's a cool ass bro. He's one of my bros for sure.
That's great. That's great. You've had obviously some major success in the past few months. It must have been absolutely amazing to get not one, but two EDC bills, both in Dallas and in Vegas. You got to hang out with your heroes and do some more networking, I imagine. And I'm sure it was all a blur anyway.
Well, no, it wasn't so much of a blur. I didn't really drink much, but
not in that sense, but there's a lot happening, a lot of people around. I would never, never deign to say that somebody underage as yourself would be drinking, by the way. That would be out of the realm of possibilities.
It's impossible. It could never happen.
Because it's illegal.
Yeah.
So how could it happen?
You can't do that. So it's impossible. It was a blur. It definitely was. I got to meet everyone. That's all it was. It was just one giant networking blur, literally. That's all it was. It was fun. I had a lot of fun though doing that.
And I imagine the response to your music was more than you could ever imagine.
Well, so far, yeah. But at the time, it was like me just walking up to people, being like, "Hi, I'm Grizzly. I make music. Here you go." And then I ran away.
So tell me about Insomniac's inaugural Escape from Wonderland. You just played that, correct?
Yeah. That was a lot of fun. It was a similar thing for me when I met Borgor, like that situation. Like, I kind of just was like, hey, I'm me, you're you. Talk to you later. Okay, cool. I got to meet Funkcase, though. I think he said he heard something from me, but I just got to
see. See, that's got to be a blast. That's got to, you know, just blow you away. Like, oh, the people that you know, you look up to in the scene have heard your shit and dig your music. That's just got to be a thrill for you.
Oh yeah, definitely. And especially what I was really blown away, I talked to Pendulum, and I mentioned my name. I was just like, yeah, I'm Chrisley, by the way. And then he was like, oh yeah, this guy was talking to me about you, like one of the Insomniac guys. Yeah, it was just weird that he had heard my name. Even the guy, one of the DJ from Pendulum, he actually knew my stuff. So that one was big for me too.
And now you've been added to Lights All Night in Dallas for New Year's Eve. So you'll be on stage then with, you know, share the stage with Diplo and Tiesto and all these huge acts.
Yeah, exactly. Me and Tiesto are going to share a bottle of champagne and we're just going to get crunk.
Non-alcoholic champagne.
Exactly. It's going to be grape soda.
Oh, of course. The champagne of soda.
The champagne of soda.
So tell me about this tour with Protohype, the Young Guns tour.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm doing right now.
Where you going? What's Protohype sound? If people are not familiar.
Oh, it's really similar to mine. It's dubstep for sure. And I mean, we're both just artists that are doing our own thing. Like, you know, he's going to school. He's at a really nice school. I'm jealous. We're actually working on some stuff. It's going to be crunk. But yeah, he's definitely influenced by some of that hip-hop vibe, as am I. So it made sense to get him on there.
Is this West Coast, Southwest, Midwest, East Coast?
Mostly everything but East Coast.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't gone to the East Coast at all, ever. It's weird. I don't know why.
Okay. And so with all this touring, can we expect a full-length record from you anytime soon? Or does the label format not even make sense for what you're doing? Does it just make sense to put out singles and then sell tickets to your one-offs or your tour dates?
That's how I like it, but yeah, that's what I like. I like just making remixes and not giving a fuck about labels because, I don't know. Yeah, like you said, it doesn't really make sense for what I'm doing. Luckily, everyone I've talked to kind of gets it, you know? If they've asked, they're like, yo, are you going to put anything out on our label or something, or do you want to? And I'm like, it, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And they've been understanding, but, like, I'm sure it's only a matter of time before I have to start cracking down on some legit originals without any samples at all, which is going to be tough because it's always tough finding the right vocals and or finding the right art or rapper or something, whatever I would use, you know? It's tough.
Is that something that you'd like to do eventually further down the road? Go out and produce either hip-hop artists or produce an album of straight hip-hop? Or are you just figuring out now what you're doing, carving out your own path?
Well, I'd absolutely love to, you know, work on my own release. I just don't know how it's going to come about. I'm going to treat it like I did that guy who started the podcast. He didn't know what a podcast was until it was invented, and that was his career from that point on, once he figured it out. That's kind of what I did. I just started figuring out the hip-hop element to dance music, and I figured out how no one really does that, and I'm just kind of going with it, and I really don't know where it'll take me or where I'll end up, but as far as a record, I see it in the future, but you never know what'll happen. I'll probably try to do like a small EP release or something, but I really don't know where this is taking me, and I'm just on the ride like you are.
Riding that podcast glory.
Yeah.
Well, Chrisley Marshall, Chrisley, thanks so much for being on the Unz podcast.
For show.
That's going to do it for today's program. Special thanks go to Max Freeman and, of course, my guest, Chris Marshall. Catch Chrisley on the Young Guns Tour with Proto Hype. They've got dates left in Georgia, Utah, Florida, and Texas. He's also on the Dallas Lights All Night bill with Tiesto, Port Robinson, Diplo, and more this New Year's Eve. Please cast your vote in the final round of the Unz Challenge. We've got 8 competitors vying for DJ Tech gear, their own EP from What Music, and an opening spot for Lotus in 2012. Go to theunz.com/theunzchallenge. Win tickets to the Unz.com second anniversary party in San Francisco featuring Nit Grit, Freddie Todd, and more by hitting up the Unz.com/contest. Please visit the Unz.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Unz podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at Anand@theunz.com. Join the conversation at the Unz podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.